Out on the road today, my dad has said, goodness gracious, grateful day.
That I listen to it, it does make sense. Let me. I emailed Mickey Hart today to ask him what he could tell me about this track because I've had it for years. Mickey gave it to me, 20 years ago, along with the other famous version of Fire on the Mountain with Mickey himself doing a sort of rap style lead vocal. And here's what Mickey wrote back to me. Jim McPherson loved the song to begin with. John McPhee was in the studio at the time, and I wanted to hear Steel on it from beat one. Jerry always wanted the lead to be a Steel to begin with. We used my rap version as a basic track, took Jerry's guitar out of it, took my voice singing double time out of the mix, and then I then asked Jim to sing in Jimbo style over the track. McPhee played a double pedal steel track. I think it was two interlocking steel parts, left channel and right channel. It came out perfect. I've always loved this version. Jerry liked it as well. So I wrote back. He mentioned he thought David Freiberg had played the bass on Mickey's fretless Alembic bass. And I'm not sure who's singing the background vocals on it. I would assume that it's Jim McPherson playing the keyboards. I want to bring in now Jim McPherson's widow, Evie McPherson. Hello, Evie.
Hi.
Welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And you've been working for 20-some years to get this record out.
24
years. Jim passed away in 1985. The CD is called A Promise Kept, and it's a lot of music that was recorded during his lifetime, or begun during his lifetime, and then you had to finish this record.
Yes.
With some help from quite a few friends.
Yes, and that was Kathy McDonald on back.
Thank you. Tell me what you can about Jim McPherson and your life with him and his passing, and then we'll get into some of this music that you brought along.
Okay. Jim was very upset about a month before he passed away. He was very upset that he didn't have a legacy to leave, or what he felt he didn't have a legacy to leave. And I knew that wasn't true, because I knew he had all this vast amount of music. And but he was upset because he didn't have, at that time, he hadn't recorded his own LP.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
even though he'd left quite a legacy behind, for the Copperhead album alone, you know.
But
John,
it wasn't
but that wasn't him.
It wasn't his. And he had actually left Copperhead to start working on his own material. And that's when he started working with Mickey to work on his own material. So I made a promise that I would finish it for him, and I just didn't realize it was going to take me all this time, and modern technology would have to catch up with doing this.
So how much music did you have? I mean, there's, you know,
I have quite a bit of material, but not all of it is studio recorded. A lot of it is Jim working out of our home. You know, whether the studio was set up in the garage or in the living room or the bedroom or wherever he decided the studio was going to be at the time, you know, and a lot of acoustic material or, you know, whatever it was done. But I have a lot of material of his. And but this was the most finished material. And on this CD, I wanted to show all his versatility. That's why I knew that this CD wouldn't be what he would have done had he been here, you know. But I felt that I had to show all that he could do.
It's a pretty impressive range of styles.
Yeah, I wanted to show that he could do love songs, and he could do country songs and blues songs and funk songs, and that's why it's so diverse in the material.
There is quite a bit of variety in it. You can find out more about Jim at jimmcpherson.net, a website devoted to this project. And I'm going to read a little bit from the bio. He grew up in the west side of Chicago in the 50s, of course, in the land of the blues there, and came to California in 1964. And I think I remember hearing that band, the Stained Glass, because I was in San Jose at the end of the 60s
also. It started as the Trolls.
Uh-huh.
And then morphed.
Well, why don't we just listen to a little music? I found on Alec Palau produced an excellent box set that came out a couple years ago called Love is the Song We Sing, San Francisco Nuggets, 1965 to 1970. And the second disc is a compilation that he referred to as Suburbia, all the stuff around the Bay Area. And I remember, because I was a young musician in 1969, and the Stained Glass was one of the bands that come out of San Jose. It was quite successful. And there's an error in the liner notes for this. The track we're going to listen to is called My Buddy Sin by the Stained Glass, and it was written by Jim McPherson, and Alec had it listed that Jim was the lead singer, but it turns out he wasn't. Dennis Carrasco, the drummer, actually sang lead on this track. But we're going to hear a song recorded and released in 1966, I guess. Recorded and released in 1966 by the Stained Glass, by Jim McPherson, and this song is called My Buddy Sin.
I go to the street and a cripple yells blind. I pray in the church and the pastor says die.
Name of that band is The Stained Glass, and the recording was made in 1966. And I'm playing it for you off of a compilation called Love is the Song We Sing, San Francisco Nuggets, 1965 to 1970. And we're talking about the life and music of Jim McPherson, who passed away way too young in 1985. His widow, Evie McPherson, is here this evening. She has spent the last 24 years trying to get this record out, and it's finally here. It's called A Promise Kept, aptly enough. I emailed Alec Palau also and asked for his impressions of Jim McPherson, and here's what he wrote back to me. If anyone was ever in any doubt regarding the unique quality of Jim McPherson as an artist and songsmith from the start, they need only listen to the small but perfectly formed run of singles he penned as part of The Stained Glass in the mid-late 1960s. At once both instrumentally inventive and lyrically stimulating, The Glass can hold their head high in the company of their many more successful Bay Area contemporaries from that golden era. Kind words indeed from Alec, who's an expert on that stuff, has been unearthing gems from the vaults around here for many years. And thank you, Alec, for that quote. So Jim McPherson left San Jose in 1971 and moved to Marin County, and he met up with Frank Werber, who had been managing the Kingston Trio. And Frank Werber was retiring, so he sent him to Ron Pulte, who was the manager of the Quicksilver Messenger Service. And I'm reading from the bio here. Pulte recalled that Jim came by one day, pulled out an acoustic guitar, and, quote, charmed me in 15 minutes. He was accomplished like a terrific magician. I was completely taken, end quote. And so Ron sent Jim to John Cipollina. Now, John Cipollina, a legend, another guy who died too young. John was, of course, one of the founders of Quicksilver Messenger Service and had an absolutely unique and fiery guitar style that we're going to hear in a few minutes. And they formed a band together.
Yes.
Copperhead. John had left Quicksilver and started a new band with Jim McPherson, Gary Philippe, who changed his name, I guess, back to Gary Phillips and played in Earthquake years later, David Weber on drums, and Pete Sears, who was soon replaced by Hutch Hutchinson on the bass. When do you enter the picture with Jim's life?
I had been working in a bank in the Mission District. I had gone to Europe and came back, and I was working in the Mission where... everything was happening. It was the most happening branch of Wells Fargo that you could imagine. I mean, the Sons of Champlin, Big Brother and the Holding Company, and Quicksilver Messenger Service. Everybody banked there, and everything politically that was happening happened there. And
so you're right in the thick of it.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. And Quicksilver wanted me to come work for them, but it wasn't time. It wasn't quite time for me to do that yet. And when John quit Quicksilver, he and Ron Pulte came back to the bank and asked me to come work for them. And so it was time, and I did. I quit the bank. And
was this so when they were getting ready to launch a new band?
Mm-hmm. I was still living in the city, but I finally moved over to Mill Valley, and I was working with them, and of course Jim was in the band, and we met. But we also were both at San Jose State at the same time, and we lived right around the corner from each other, but we'd never met. So if you're destined to meet somebody, you're going to meet them one way or another. I think that's supposed to happen. And we did. We finally met. And so...
Was it love at first sight and all that?
We were both getting out of marriages. And what you resist persists, I think. I didn't want to be with anybody and at that time. And, you know, being in the office, Nick Ravenitis used to come in every morning and have coffee with me and tell me stories, and I would hear all these stories about musicians, and I kept thinking, there is no way I'm going to be with a musician, you know, after hearing all these stories. And of course, like I said, what you resist persists, and I wound up with a musician. And it was... fabulous.
Well, tell me about the early days of Copperhead then, if you were around at that time. It was a new band. Did they start with a record deal? Did they play gigs around the Bay Area?
Oh, well, they did. They used to play the Long Branch here in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
They used to play. They initially were signed with Just Sunshine. And Michael Lang, who had put on
Woodstock fame, yes.
Yeah, the Woodstock. And then Ron Pulte kind of got them out of that contract by getting Clive Davis to come see them at the Long Branch. And then he saw them and he wanted them.
Clive Davis being the legendary record business figure and then the head of Columbia Records. Mm-hmm. He went on to found Arista Records and sign, among others, the Grateful Dead.
Yes.
But
yes.
So he brought Copperhead to Columbia, and that's who put out this record in, I think, about 1973?
Yes.
That shake, shuffling across the floor. The fire whistle.
That's Copperhead from their eponymous 1973 debut album. Jim McPherson was the songwriter, lead singer, and keyboardist on that one. We're talking with Jim McPherson's widow, Evie McPherson, and listening to some of her late husband's music, including some unreleased material from High Noon with Mickey Hart, and a new CD titled A Promise Kept, completing work that was started before McPherson passed away in 1985. More information at jimmcpherson.net. We'll have more from the CD and more unreleased music from High Noon when the Grateful Dead Hour continues. It's the Grateful Dead Hour. I'm David Gans. We're listening to some music from the late Jim McPherson, who, among other achievements, was in a band called High Noon with Mickey Hart, Merle Saunders, Norton Buffalo, and others. Here's another track from the posthumous CD, A Promise Kept.
The arms, having anybody
All I got to say is there are way too many dead people in this recording. Jeez. Merle Saunders, the late Norton Buffalo. Wow. That's the opening track from this CD we're celebrating here, A Promise Kept by Jim McPherson. Song written by Jim McPherson and Merle Saunders. And on that track, Mickey Hart, Vicki Randall on percussion and backup vocals, Norton Buffalo on harmonica and background vocals, Bobby Vega on bass, Michael Hinton on lead guitar, Merle on organ, and Jim McPherson on piano and vocals. And Evie was telling me off mic here that some of the tracks were lost from the original multi-tracks, and Bobby Vega came back and recreated his bass part. Now, Mickey Hart plays a big role in all of this, and they had a band together. I remember seeing this band a couple times, High Noon, it was called. Mickey, Jim McPherson, who else was in that band?
Merle Saunders, Bobby Vega, Vicki Randall, Norton Buffalo, and Michael Hinton.
So that's what we just heard then. That was High Noon.
That was High Noon, absolutely. Hey. Yeah, and so Cross the Bridge and Left Out in the Cold are the two songs that High Noon gave to Jim from the rough mixes to for him to have for his work.
High Noon never really released a record. They just
played
a bunch of gigs,
they broke up in the studio.
Uh-oh. So you brought in some rough mixes and sort of unreleased stuff from High Noon, and we have a version of Cross the Bridge here.
Yes, with Merle actually on organ.
Let's listen to this unreleased rough mix of High Noon performing Cross the Bridge by Jim McPherson.
Cross the bridge. wants in your pants. You can walk on eggs. Begging directions to the pearly gates.
Just wanted you to hear a little more of the sort of countryish side of Jim McPherson. That that song had John McPhee again, the great, great John McPhee playing pedal steel. Who else is on there? Let's see. Mickey Hart, Bobby Vega, John McPhee, and Jim McPherson. That's a fine sounding track. Great song. I love the guy's voice. He just had a really unique singing voice.
Yeah.
I want to go to another track from the rough mixes that you brought in. This is a Norton Buffalo song called Little Girl.
Sure.
This is from, is this High Noon again from around the same time, 1981?
Yes.
I have Evie McPherson with me here, and she's put out a record by her late husband, Jim McPherson, who passed away in 1985, and she spent 24 years getting this thing ready for release, and I'm very happy to have it in my hands. This is another song from High Noon, recorded in 1981, and way too many of the members of that band are lost to us now, including the guy who wrote this song, Norton Buffalo.
I'm talking about my baby. I'm talking about my baby. Little girl, 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 little girl. I'm talking about my baby. I'm talking about my baby. Don't you know that I love you so?
to read this epigraph from the front of the CD. Jim, this is from Mickey Hart. Jim was music. It poured out of him in buckets. He sang, played bass, piano, guitar, and wrote down the bones in the most gentle and soulful way. He was my best friend. His music still rings true inside me after all these years. That's very sweet. We were going to end with a letter to Carmina, which is track number 6. And Evie chose this one because it's Bob Hunter's favorite song. There's also a note from Robert Hunter in these liner notes. So let's listen to this. Thank you so much for being here, Evie, and thank you for your diligence in making this record happen.
Thank you so much for having me.
The record is called A Promise Kept by the late Jim McPherson, and his bride, Evie, has put a lot of energy into making sure that she kept the promise to him that she'd get this music out. Let's listen to one more song from the CD.
Must need a painting. You know my heart is aching to mow your lawn before the summer's gone. I know that you can make it on your own. You've always been an independent soul.
And that was the music of Jim McPherson, who died way too young. The The album is called A Promise Kept. You can find it on CD Baby, the iTunes music store, and go to my website, cloudsurfing.gdhour.com. There's lots of information about the music right there, including links to the website where you can find out more and see the video clip from Mickey Hart and various other things. The program you just heard was taken from a live broadcast on KPFA in Berkeley, November 11th, 2009. You can hear more of Jim McPherson's music at jimmcpherson.net. And now here are some scenes from next week's Grateful Dead Hour.
God save the child who rings that bell. My time comes any day. Don't worry about it, no.
You'll find Grateful Dead Hour program logs, a searchable database of past shows, news, photos, interviews, and other useful information at cloudsurfing.gdhour.com. You might also want to bookmark dead.net, where you'll find a show from the Grateful Dead Hour archives posted every Wednesday. My musical performance schedule is posted at dgans.com. This has been Grateful Dead Hour number 1107. Thank you for your kind attention, everybody. I'm David Gans, and I'll meet you back here next week.